Amen. Man, I am enjoying Brother D. Enjoying leading this singing. Man, he was kind of amped up before the service, and he's led singing in front of thousands of people, and I just love it that it matters so much to him. That's a blessing. And look, I pray for the singing on Wednesday night. You're like, why do you do that? Because God deserves to be praised, and we have to fight back against just checking something off the list. If we're going to assemble, brothers and sisters, we need to be doing it on purpose. And it's okay to be a Wednesday night, be in work clothes or whatever, man. But we need to be serious about lifting up Jesus. And that's, man, that's a blessing. Aren't you thankful for when you got saved? Man, it's so good. It's been like 3 years, something like that, maybe a little bit longer. The Fiavis and the Wicklands, and Anna and I took some students to Heartland for college days. And we try to keep ministry in front of kids. It's that we do not put pressure on people to call them, for them to go into it. People just need to do whatever God wants them to do, and I'm good with that. But just, it's a good option, and just like I want people to be Christian doctors and lawyers, I want young people to think about ministry too. And I want grown people to think about ministry, too. It's another conversation. Anyway, we were walking around on the campus, and a couple of adults that were working at the college that I went to school with walked up to our group and with stunned looks looked at this guy and said, Robbie? Robbie Wicklund? And the tone was almost like this. You're not in jail. I didn't realize it. Brother Robbie and I had actually gone to Heartland at the same time. Different stages of life. We played basketball together, and he didn't go for as long as I did, but our time there overlapped. And then when I came here, different people have different histories and places. A lot of you have had the privilege of watching him grow up. And this is what's awesome about it. Whatever you knew of him in the youth department, and aren't you thankful that you can be known for different than what you were known for in the youth department? And that doesn't just apply to him. Me too, hallelujah. And you're like, we need to know. No, you don't, man. Just thank God for his grace. Brother Robbie is a leader of men here, and I am thankful that he knows how to have a good time. I'm thankful that he knows how to laugh and that he is easy to approach, but he is serious about God, and he is serious about the things of God, and that is very obvious in the way that he approaches life. And just like I said about Brother Nate, our church is better because we have Robbie and Marcella Wicklund as a part of it. And he has built up much credibility, not by promoting himself. He's never desired to do that. And trust me, he did not desire to do this. But he desires to serve the Lord. And if you ask him, you're going to find out this man is very serious about the Lord and about the things of God. He loves our young people. He loves his church. And he loves the Lord. And I know just like Brother Nate has prepared, he is prepared as well. So, bro, I love you. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you, and I'm looking forward to hearing from God tonight.
Fortunately, I'm not a criminal, even though people think I was going to be one. Do you know today is National Chocolate Milk Day? Did anybody else know that? No? Adam? I need some chocolate milk. Who else is really nervous right now? Brian raised his hand. You should be. You all should be nervous. No, so good preachers, they all have things they do. Some guys, they walk. Adam said he wasn't actually going to move the camera. You can't see me right now. They walk around, or they do things, or they do things with their hands, or they turn one word or one syllable words into five. God, I don't know how they do that. Or you got Fiavai, he does his little leg kick thing. But the best preachers, they come down with the people, right? And then when it's serious, those are the best preachers. Sorry, I'm not that guy. I'm not a preacher. I'm barely a teacher. So you're not getting 3 points in a poem from me tonight. You're going to get a story. More bad news. Ask my wife, ask others. I'm a horrible storyteller. Like, I'll start a story and just bad. Just bad. So hopefully this isn't just bad. But if it is, don't tell me. Just say thank you, and I'll say thank you. So we all have Bible characters that we can relate to or that we aspire to be like. Ooh, not used to that. I think all of us in here would want to be like David. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 13:22, it describes David as a man after God's own heart. I would like that said about me. Or we think the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the faith that they had to go into that fire to know that God was going to be with them in there. Or to have Solomon's wisdom. I'd like more wisdom. Nate, you're really smart. You did a great job. I don't have Nate's wisdom. I definitely don't have Solomon's wisdom. I can almost guarantee that all of us have had our open mouth insert foot moments. Like Peter, Brother Jones said it well. He said, we all have a foot-shaped hole where our mouth goes. That's usually any time I talk. But somebody that I've related to at different parts of my life, maybe when I was at college, and that's why people think I was going to be a criminal, is Jonah. So knowing what God wants me to do, but not doing that with my life simply because I'm too scared to do that, or I'm too proud to do that, or I'm not in tune with God like I should be to know what he wants for me at that moment. Anybody else been a Jonah at some point? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to be in Jonah. So if you'll open your Bibles and stand. There's some fun names in here, so if I pronounce it wrong, just don't tell me. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down onto it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and they cast unto his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that it is for my sake that this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You may be seated there. So Jonah, God says, hey, go preach to Nineveh. Jonah says, yeah, let's go. No. He does the exact opposite. He does what you and I do a lot of time when God says, hey, I want you to go in this direction with your life. I want you to do this with your life. At least the things that I've done, I've said no to God. Or I've not gone where he wants me to go. I've done that more than once. Jonah thought he could run from the plan that God had for his life and be just fine. It doesn't have to be something big for us to tell God no. He's not going to ask all of us to preach some great big revival to a city who doesn't like you, doesn't like your God, and doesn't want you there at all. Maybe he just wants us to obey in the day-to-day things. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Use your life as an example for Christ every day. But God had a specific plan for Jonah here. He's a God of order, and he always has a plan for everything. But Jonah didn't want anything to do with the plan that God had for him. So he sails off into the sunset and lives happily ever after. Not quite. So God sends this little storm, and the guy's like, we can do this. We've been through storms before. It's what we do out here on the sea. Get in our boat and just do it. They're tough guys. They're not like, they're tough guys. It's a serious storm, though. This is a kiss your boat goodbye storm. So they start chucking out the wares. What are wares? They start chucking out the Tupperwares, the hardwares, their extra clean underwears, everything that they can have in the boat, they throw it out. So that's all the stuff that they were hauling to make money. This is how they supported themselves and their families. This is their livelihood. They're so scared they don't care about any of that right now. They're thinking, we're going to sink, we're going to die. What can we do? What can we get rid of so that this boat maybe doesn't sink? So that doesn't work. So then they start praying to their little gods. So now in basketball, if you dunk on somebody, you go like this. They used to go like this. Now that means you're too small. Dude's 6'8", 250 pounds, and you're too small. So they start praying to their too small gods.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
Right.
I don't know why it doesn't work. Where's Jonah at this point? He's sleeping. Let's think about this scene. So these guys are scared for their life, chucking everything. So water's coming in the ship. I'm going to call it a boat. I don't know what it is. It's a ship, but I'm calling it a boat. Water's coming in. Stuff is flying around. They're throwing everything out. You know they're screaming like little girls. At least I would be. But Jonah is sleeping. How in the world do you sleep like that? Pastor has this crazy ability to sleep anywhere on any uncomfortable surface, doesn't matter noisy or not. It was last year at Men and Boys, we were all hanging out by the river. There's a bunch of not smooth, nice rocks, like jagged, bumpy, roll your ankle rocks. He just plops down and falls asleep. But this Jonah sleep, this is like that next level. Sometimes we can let our heart get hard towards the Holy Spirit or towards the things of God, and then we can sleep right through it. We can sleep through the storms that he sends to try to get our attention back on him. So I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. When I was 22, I broke my tibia and fibula. I always thought it was tibia fibula. Looked it up. It's fibula. These two bones. They look like, if it's into the number, it kind of looks like an 11. Except for me, it's like one. It's a chicken leg, so it's just a one. Looks like an 11. I broke my leg on September 11th. My dirt bike was number 11. My lucky number is 11. I got saved on September 11th, 3 years prior. So my mom says to me, maybe God's trying to get your attention. Not with the 11 stuff. That was just me. She says, I think God's trying to get your attention. I said, nah, it's bad luck. I just shouldn't jump my dirt bike. But I did. I just kind of looked it off like it wasn't. I was in church this whole time. I have never not been in church, but I wasn't doing what God wanted me. Right. What I knew right. God's will for was right. at my life at that point. So listen to your moms. They know. Mama knows best. Okay, back to the boat. The captain comes down. He says, dude, Jonah, what are you doing, oh sleeper? So we know Jonah's young here because he can sleep through anything, right? Just like you guys sleep through Sunday school. Oof. Or he has 8 kids and a really busy ministry life. Also gives you the ability to sleep anywhere. He says, you better pray to your God so that we could get through this. Sometimes when we're not obeying God's will, it can get messy for the people around us. Right. You think, oh, this will just affect me. I can handle this. But the people that are the closest to you sometimes are the people that get hurt the most right. when you try to run from God. Okay, you guys didn't hear that. I'm talking to myself, but I'm saying it out loud. Okay, so they cast lots, or draw straws, if you don't know what casting lots is, and it falls on Jonah. Jonah's it. You do not want to be it, but Jonah's it right now. So they 20 question him, who, what, when, where, not the wheres that they already chucked out of the boat. Let's look at verse 9. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So now they're like, uh-oh. Yeah. They realize, they know the God that Jonah's running from, talking about. Right. They've heard the stories of the Red Sea.
Right.
They've heard about the crossing of the Jordan,
right.
the Battle of Jericho, and so many other battles. They know exactly the God that Jonah is running from here. And at this point, they're remembering that he told them. Okay, so just picture this. Maybe I am going to be that walk across the stage guy. So they're rowing the boat. It's a big boat, so they probably... So Jonah, what are you going to Tarshish for? You guys don't know? There's an olive festival there next week. It's going to be crazy. I just really want to go down there and experience it. What is it with people and experiences these days? Everybody wants to travel somewhere and experience something. You want an experience? Get a job. Get married. Have kids. That's more than enough experience for a lot of things. But that's another story. Says, yeah, I'm kind of fleeing from my God. He wants me to go to Nineveh and preach to those guys, but I don't really like them anyway. And how often does this olive festival come around? I mean, am I right? So at this point, it's crazy on the boat. Things are happening. He says, okay, Jonah, what can we do so that we don't die because of you? He says, throw me over. Do what? Throw me over. What? You could throw me off the boat and you guys will be fine. you're crazy. We're not doing that. So they, storm, they're just going at it, trying to get through this. We can do that. The storm comes, we can say, oh, I got this. I can get through this. But usually, we don't. And they didn't hear. So they say, okay, God, if you want him that bad, you can have him. So they chuck him over the side with the wares. So I'm like a kid. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. This is how I see it. One of the ways I see it. Jonah, they throw him out. So there's this movie about these little kids that hit a baseball in the backyard. They build this thing to throw the ball back out. They go and they get the ball, and it throws the ball out. They're like, yeah. And this dog comes and catches the ball. Maybe you've seen it, maybe not. So Jonah, he's down in the water, and he's just laying there. Well, sorry, guys. Thanks for trying to get me there. Thanks, guys. And then, boom! I didn't spill it. Big old fish comes and gets him. Big fish. He's the original noodler, but he didn't do it on purpose. So this whole story, this is one of those things where people say, that's impossible. Or they say, well, fish have evolved over 65 million years and they have pockets of air in their stomach. Get out of here with that. It is impossible unless God prepared the fish. And that's what happened here. So now Jonah, he hits rock bottom or belly bottom. Unless it's a rockfish, then he hits rock belly bottom. I don't know what kind of fish it is. So he's in this fish now. It's dark. He realized, I'm not dead. I can think. It stinks a lot. I hate the smell of fish. I like the idea of fishing. It's just the fish part I don't care for so much. Like if I could just, yeah. I like sushi. I don't like fish are just gross. Anyway, so he's in there, in the nasty. He's in there for a while. He's in there for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. So verse 1, what does Jonah do? He prays. He cries out to God. He says, God, I'm down here. I can't do anything now. Right. He just got dunked on by Satan. So Satan's doing this, walking away. You're too little. You're too small. You can't handle these things. But then what's God do? God hears him. He hears his prayer. No matter how far we run from God, he hears us. No matter how big of a mess or how stinky of a mess you make of your life, God is there. He's waiting. You just have, just like the prodigal son, you go out, you make a mess. It's not like, oh, I have to come back and get back to God. No, it's God's there. So God tells the fish to yak Jonah up on the shore. This is another one of those things where my little kidness came out. And Jonah, he's on the shore, and he's like, yak. Mr. Fish, it was great talking to you. I hope I never see you again, but thanks. And then the fish says, bye, Jonah. Good luck preaching in Nineveh. I don't know if that didn't happen, but I'd like to think it did. So then God tells Jonah to go and preach again to Nineveh. Aren't you glad for a God of second and third and 100th chances? I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for that, for God's mercy in my life. So he tells Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh, but he tells him, I'll tell you what to say.
Right.
You don't have to know what you're going to say. It's like when you're talking to somebody, like Brother Nate said, he loves talking to his coworkers about God. You don't have to know all the right words to say. You don't have to know exactly what you're going to say. Just tell people about how God has worked in your life and how he's been merciful to you.
Amen.
Everybody in here has a story of that. Even if it's nothing but your salvation, that's more than enough story.
Amen.
So Jonah goes into the city and he cries out to them and preaches and says, hey, God's going to tear this city down in 40 days. And so the king hears about it. And they take Jonah serious. They all, it says they believed God. So the king gets serious. He's like, all right, everybody's fasting. It's a big city. Some people say, like, with all the little suburbs, it's like 600,000 people. So that's pretty much our whole valley right here, Boise, Nampa, Eagle, all that stuff. So Jonah, he preaches. The people, they all fast. Even he makes the animals fast, too. He's like, we are not messing around. Cow, spit out that water. Everybody is fasting here. And so then they cry out mightily to God, and God hears them, and he spares the city. He hears their prayer. So then we get to chapter 4, and I easily get confused, but this is just confuses me. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So he just preaches. 1,000 people believe God and turn from their ways. And he's mad about it. I'd be like Brother Adam right here. Woo! I would be excited. But not Jonah. He knew that God would be merciful to the city. That's why he was going to Tarshish in the first place. Not for an olive festival. I don't know what you guys were thinking with that. So it wasn't for the olive festival. He tells God, I would rather die than to see you have mercy on these people. And that just doesn't make sense to me. That's a bold statement to say, I'd rather die than to see you be merciful to those people. And you're thinking, why? Why does he feel this way? Why does he dislike the people of Nineveh so much? So the city of Nineveh, it was a wicked and cruel city. They enjoyed serving their little g gods. They did all sorts of just wicked things, and they killed lots of Hebrews, and they were Israel's enemy. And so that's one of the main reasons Jonah didn't like them. He wanted God to judge them. I doubt anybody in here has a grudge like Jonah did. At least not for the same reasons. Maybe there's somebody at your school or at your work that they've taken it as their sole responsibility to make sure that every day that they see you, they just make you miserable. Maybe you have a family member that's not in church and they just think how you live your life and the way that you believe is just foolish or stupid. Can I say something? I shouldn't have said it. Sorry. But, or maybe it's somebody that you don't like because they just moved here from a different place. That other place. Or you don't like how they live their life. You can think, I don't want to tell them about God. I know God's going to be merciful to them. What if they end up coming to my church? They're going to take my seat. I'm going to see them all the time. It's just not going to be good for me. Just think if nobody ever cared enough about you to tell you about Jesus. God wants each of us to care about people the way that he does. Love people the way that God loves you. Statement. I've always wanted to say that. Don't let your grudges hinder God's grace. Teenager, don't have a grudge against your parents for trying to raise you in God's grace.
Right.
Be thankful.
Amen.
Teenager, don't have a grudge. Don't let your grudge on how you've been wronged by friends or family affect on how you show God's grace to others.
Amen.
Single adult, don't have a grudge about being single.
Right. Amen.
But if you do, God can help you get over it. But don't let that affect how you show God's grace to others.
Amen.
Parents, don't let your grudges of how your parents raise you affect how you raise your children under God's grace.
Amen.
Parents, don't let your grudges on how your kids respond to your correction affect how you minister God's grace to them.
Amen.
Single parent, don't let your grudge about being single affect how you show God's grace to your kids.
Amen.
And your non-single parent friends. Church member, don't let your grudges from a previous church hinder how you let God's grace flow through you in this church. Church member, don't let grudges from a previous pastor affect how you give God's grace to your current pastor. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to just share truth from your word. God, I pray that it was helpful and useful, and that you would just use it in lives. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes one more time. How many of you would say there are areas in my life where there are some resentments, some hardships, some hurts, some grudges that are robbing me of the grace of God in other areas of my life? He made some really clear statements of application at the end. He said, man, I've got some areas where I am not allowing the grace of God to affect me in my service, in my life, like I need to. And I know God spoke to me about that tonight. Would you raise your hand before the Lord and say, me too. What's amazing about these messages is that they overlap. Brother Nate gave much principle. Brother Robbie gave the narrative. And we need to be responsive to the Lord. Let's all stand together. Brother Dennis, would you start singing, please? If God has spoken to your heart, take the moment to respond to him right now. Don't wait. You start responding to the Lord.